touch my kids and defied me. Then they took us from our family, took us away. They took us away, snatched from our mother's grace, said this is for the best, took us away.
He was the voice of generations and one of the nation's greatest storytellers. And this morning, Archie Roach's life is being celebrated after he died over the weekend, aged 66. And by the way, his family has allowed the media to use his name. Gunjamara Bunjalong, senior elder, songman, storyteller and survivor of the Stolen Generations, Uncle Archie offered hope and inspiration to many, especially Indigenous youth and artists. The tributes have not stopped coming, and with us to reflect on his life, legacy and influence, is his friend and board member of the Archie Roach Foundation, Uncle Jack Charles. Welcome to breakfast.
It's good to be here with you, Norman. Very good.
So, I mean, you just must be devastated.
I am devastated. Only a week or so ago, Archie had been performing in Collingwood Town Hall, which was his last gig, and on a Sunday. And I had also performed on a Saturday at the Collingwood Town Hall too. And people were telling me that they were grateful that they saw him one last time, because shortly after that gig, he went into hospital and, of course, passed away. But, look, Norman, I was very thrilled to record a message. Jill Shelton asked me to record a message for him so he can hear in his hospital bed.
What did you say? What did you say in that message?
I recall the time that he grabbed me after I had left Sydney after I dropped out of performing, rehearsing Kate Grenville's Secret River for the Sydney Theatre Company, when at that time when I was asked to prove my Aboriginality from the ATSI Board of the Arts Council up there in Sydney. So I left Sydney and promised never to come back until I was proclaimed as an Aboriginal. And it became public knowledge, newsworthy. And so Archie found me down here in Melbourne, unemployed. And he said, Jack, why don't you come and join me in my new EP, go on tour. I want you to be a member of my choir. And so the next moment I found myself down at Port Ferry in the cemetery down there in a suit, lying on the asphalt there, the path, and being filmed and walking all the way up to the hall of this building next to an old church that Archie and his mob had saved from the developers, where he was recording Song to Sing there. And that's my first introduction actually working with Archie. And that was a thrill to be a member of his choir. And also, when we did hit Sydney on the first leg of the tour, he asked me when we were at the State Theatre if I wouldn't mind singing the Paul Kelly bits. I always like to say the Paul Kelly bits of We Won't Cry, the song We Won't Cry. And yeah, it was a thrill for me to be singing, you know, standing next to Archie. And there we were. I fondly recalled to him, and I said, well, there we were, Archie, you know, the bald legend and the feral legend together singing We Won't Cry. And that was a hoot. It was a winning combination.
Yeah, but there aren't many dry eyes at the moment. I mean, you shared a lot with Archie, you know, both being survivors of the Stolen Generation. Archie was taken from his family when he was four.
Yes.
What did you think when you first heard Took the Children Away?
It just hit the sweet honey spot in my mind. it brought tears to my eyes. And well, that was years ago. You know, I would always, you know, commented. I remember commenting once we were traveling together, that that was the song that made me seriously think about my my own journey and et cetera. So, it was a something I'll never forget. That took the children away. You know, when everybody hears the first strains of that song, they stop and listen.
Now,
around the world, right around Australia.
It is amazing to hear him singing that now in the current environment. The foundation was the Archie Roach Foundation was very important to him. And as you already indicated, his activities were in a much broader range than just the arts.
We were going regularly into Malmesbury Youth Training Centre and Parkville. We were there at the first riot there, caught in amongst it. And et cetera. And Archie and I, we realised that there's something we needed to keep an evergreen presence, I like to say, a fresh presence of Indigenous elders in our youth detention centres and adult prisons, so that we can, you know, keep culture alive, culture that's been dashed with, you know, with the young ones using ice and et cetera. They do forget their culture, their family connection, their ties, and respect for country and kinship, and respect for the law. They lose all sense of that. So that's why, you know, Archie and I thought it was proper, and indeed, we felt obligated to do as many trips into the youth detention centres as possible.
Jack.
But of course, COVID stopped that.
Yeah.
So I was zooming in, and we did a lot of zooming with our AGMs and etc.
Jack, we have to go. I'm sorry, but good luck with your work.
All right, thanks very much, Norman.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.